To have your Bible, isn't it? Amen. It's good to have your Bible. I'd like you to turn to John chapter 6. Get ahead of myself. John chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse number 1 through verse number 13. As I said before, one of the things I like to have, or we like to do in Scotland, is eat fish. Do you folks like to eat fish? A lot of fishing around here. Good fishing. I know there's a lot of lakes in Michigan, amen? So that's a good thing. All right, okay. In Scotland, what we do is we read the Bible, we stand and give honor to the Bible. And if you're able to, I'd ask you to stand as we read from John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As I said, I like fish. I like it a lot. I eat it when I can. I think it's a good, healthy food. My favorite way of eating it is after I catch it. I like to go fishing. I've been fishing many different ways. I've been fishing on the sea in a boat, in a little boat that was very interesting. We went out off the coast of Scotland, and we went in this boat, and the waves were quite big and quite high, and we're on this boat and going back and forth like that, and it was very interesting, let me tell you. And you would throw out the line, and then you'd come out, you'd try bring it, and you were just maneuvering around, and it was very interesting. I've done it in a stream in Scotland. I've done fly fishing. I've done normal fishing with a spinner. I've even tickled trout, which is one of the things I did as a boy. You would go into a river and you'd put your hand into the water and you'd pretend like it was like the weeds until you got a trout underneath, and you'd throw them out and you'd catch them that way. And I remember doing that as a young lad. We'd do that. We'd come home and we'd gut the fish there and we'd bring it home, and we'd take the fish and we would grill it with butter and almonds underneath a grill, and it was delicious. And as I'm sure you know, the best fish is the fish that you just freshly caught. And it's a wonderful experience, and I really enjoy it. And even when I can, I say to Debbie, you know, if we can, let's eat fish maybe once or twice a week, because I like fish. And one of the things I read in the Bible is that the Lord likes fish too. And you often find that the disciples and the Lord, they're all eating fish. Amen. And I think that's good. And after the resurrection, the Lord prepared meat for them, and they had been fishing. And fishing was part of their experience. And we don't think of fish as they did back then. It was a staple diet. And a few years ago, we had the opportunity, we went to Israel, and it was a blessing, amen. And then we went around, went to the Sea of Galilee, went to the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea was an interesting place. It was like 100 degrees. It's about 40 degrees Celsius. That's about 120 degrees. And it was really hot. And we went up to the Sea of Galilee, and as you do, we went to the restaurants there to eat, and we went to the first restaurant to eat St. Peter's fish. And we went there, and I, again, being Scottish, I asked, what's the price? You always ask the price first. That way they can't change it, you know, so I asked the price. And they said it was 150 shekels for each person. And I said, what kind of fish is it? Oh, tilapia. I said, you're going to charge me 150 shekels for tilapia? And I'm not putting tilapia down, but, you know, it's not the greatest fish in the world. It's the kind of fish that eats the junk. And like it's St. Peter's fish. I said, how did I know? How do I know that? Oh, it's the tradition. Well, in the Sea of Galilee, there is tilapia, a lot of them, but they also have little fish, sardines. And those are the kind of fish that the people who live there eat. And so this young boy came to see the Lord Jesus Christ and his miracles and what he's done and to hear the preaching, and he brought with him a lunch. Now, I'm sure you've probably heard, as I have many times preaching on this passage, about what the Lord did with the loaves and the fishes. But this morning I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about the fish. Because these fish really were nondescript. They were the kind of fish that were so common at the time that most people ate them because they were cheap and they were available. They were the kind of fish that you wouldn't have put on a special meal for. They were just the average, ordinary fish that the poor people would eat. So when Andrew says, there's a lad here, verse number 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? He was saying, this is the best we've got. And God can use the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And that's what happened in this young lad's life. You know, one of the amazing things about this passage is we don't even know the name of the young lad. We don't know who he is. We don't know where he came from. We don't know his circumstances, his background, or anything like that. But what we do know is that someone had taken the time to prepare him a lunch. Now, you remember, I know I'm going back to the dark ages, when you used to go to school and you'd take your lunch with you in a box. I remember mine used to get wrapped up in paper and with a string. And my mother's favorite lunch she would give me would always be like, we call it chopped eggs. And she would get boiled eggs and she'd chop them up, a little bit of mayonnaise, a little bit of butter, and she'd put it on a sandwich, which was nice. But the problem is that in the morning it smelled fine. But as the day would go on, and at lunchtime you'd open up, it would smell a little bit off. But we didn't have a choice back then. It's not like you could go to McDonald's or any of these things and say, oh, I'll just have something else. You ate it because it's all you had. And, you know, I don't remember any one time in my life growing up when we got those sandwiches. It was either a chopped egg or it was Spam. Anyone remember Spam? Remember Spam sandwich? You know, people look down in Spam today like it's something bad, but I enjoyed it. I never looked back and said, I never took anything back to my mother and said, this is no good. Probably because if I did, I knew what would happen. You know, I would have been, well, if you don't want it, you starve. You can eat it or starve. So someone had prepared for this young man a lunch. Now, this young man could have, when Andrew came and brought him to Jesus, said, wait a minute, this is my lunch. This is for me. This is mine. But he willingly gave what he had to the Lord Jesus so that Jesus could use it. And when he did, we don't hear that he kicked up a fuss or he was angry, had a bad attitude. We hear nothing. So that tells me that the Lord had him that day for a reason. You know, we quote that verse, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Now that doesn't mean, and if you've been saved for any length of time, you know, that doesn't mean that all things are good, because they're not. Sometimes God will bring difficult things in our lives, hurtful things sometimes. And it's amazing how he will use those things to be a blessing to us. And I'm amazed how God works sometimes. You know, when I was back in the dark ages, I first called to be a missionary, I was ready to charge hell with a water pistol. But now, maybe it's an age thing, I don't know. I'm kind of looking for God to work. I'm kind of stepping back saying, Lord, how are you going to take care of the situation? How are you going to bring glory and honor out of this? And he always does. So this young lad came with his sandwiches. Now, I'm sure because he probably was a poor boy and these were two little fishes, probably sardines, probably the bread he had was not the best bread. The sardines were not the best fish. They weren't, you know, I was going to say in the Lake of Galilee, they have three different kinds of fish. They have tilapia, they have sardines, and they have a fish called a mushti, which is a big, huge fish, kind of like a carp. And those are the ones that they kept for the leaders, those who were in charge. But the sardines were for the poor people. Now, God used what this young lad had. He could have said, look, I don't have anything, Lord. I'm sure you can't use it. But in God's hands, God can bless and do anything. And sometimes as Christians, we say to ourselves, well, God can use this person, but not me. We used to have a lady who came to our church, and she was from, I think it was Romania. And after every service, she'd come up to me and she'd say, you offended me. I said, how have I offended you? Oh, that Bible preaching, it offends me. But she kept coming back and back and back. And it was ministering to her, but humanly speaking, she didn't like to hear it. Have you ever had that happen in your life where you come and the Lord speaks to your heart and it hurts? And it's painful sometimes? But it's what we need. I remember, again, growing up as a young lad, one of the things my mother used to do is at the time we used to get cod liver oil. Anyone remember cod liver oil? But it wasn't in a little capsule. Oh, no. It was in a bottle with a spoon. And me and my five brothers, we'd line up every morning after breakfast. So you get this big, huge, black, slimy ball with the cod liver oil down the sides. She'd take off the cap like that. She'd get a big dessert spoon and fill it up and say, come here, and it's for your own good. And I remember, oh, it tasted like rotten fish. But guess what? I'm okay. I survived. And at the time, I wasn't too enthused about it, but, you know, I understand what she was probably trying to do, and our diet probably wasn't that good, and we needed a little bit of things to help us out. And, you know, at the time, I wasn't too enthralled with the idea, but it's amazing how it was okay. This young man came, he offered up his sandwich voluntarily to the Lord, and the Lord took it. Amen. Now, what did God do with these sardines, probably, and this five loaves? Well, first of all, he had the people sit down. Amen. You know, to me, that sometimes God, when God's working in your life, he has to get you still. Now, my wife will tell you, if you ask the question, I tend to be the kind of person who runs around doing all kinds of things. You know, I like to get things done. Amen? I mean, if there's something to be done, I'm going to go and get it done. But sometimes, in order for God to work in your life, you have to sit down. That's why I like to come to church. And what's the first thing, one of the things we do when you come to church? We sit down. Under the preaching, under the singing, and to hear from God. Amen? And the first thing Jesus did is he had the men sit down. Sometimes God has to slow us down. And I think that's what happened last year. I know that's what happened to a lot of people in Scotland. God slowed them down so they could take the time to read their Bibles, to pray and seek God's will. And despite all that happened last year, people actually grew in grace. I get questions all the time by text and message. And I'm not a great texter, by the way. I mean, it takes me forever to answer a text. My first text I got from my kids, I just did the letter K. That was it, K. And Dad, don't just say K. But, you know, they grew in the midst of that. And sometimes God has us sit down, slow down, and listen. So I kind of wonder about those five, and it was 5,000 men. So there's 5,000 men. If you say there's at least one woman and one child, that's at least probably 15,000 people. And I can imagine being in that crowd. I said, I've been to Israel, I've been to Galilee, I've been to these hills where this happened. And I can picture them in my mind, these rolling hills where the Lord Jesus had all the men and the women sat down. And I imagine them sitting down and maybe, as people do, said to one another, what's next? Now, that's a good question. What's next? And maybe the word went round, well, you know, Jesus is going to feed us. Well, how is he going to do that? There's a whole bunch of people here. How is he going to do that? How is Jesus going to manage to feed all of us? Is it only the people in the front? Is it the people in the first couple of rows? And someone probably says, well, I hear they've got a couple of fish and a few loaves. And he probably sat in the back, there was in the back, said, well, we're not getting fed. I remember the first time I remember as a child coming under the sound of the gospel. And it was in an area of Edinburgh where I grew up called Leith. And they had a gospel crusade. And what was interesting about that gospel crusade is there was a group of Americans who came over, and this was in the early 70s. No, it wasn't. It was in the 60s. It was in the late 60s. And they came to our, and we lived in a very poor area. I'll be honest, it was a very poor area. And they had a huge gospel crusade and invited all the neighborhood kids in to hear the gospel. And I was one of those kids. And I remember they had this idea that if you brought visitors, you'd get a special prize. Well, that's a great idea. So I invited all my brothers. I had four brothers. I invited all my cousins and all the rest of it and brought them all. And we sat in the back. And I remember that we're in this hall, and there's probably 200 or 300 of us, young kids, noisy and loud and all that kind of thing. I remember sitting in the back, and guess what? I never got my prize because I was in the back. And all my friends and relatives are like, well, I never got that prize. But the interesting thing is, several years later, one of our supporting churches is a guy called Pastor John Beard in Wintersville Baptist Temple in Wintersville, Ohio. And I got talking to him, and he said, you know, I've been to Scotland. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah, I've been to Scotland. I said, when did you go to Scotland? Oh, in the 60s. I said, really? And where did you go? And he said, well, I went to Leith. Well, I was living in Leith at the time. And he was part of that crusade. It's amazing how God works things out. He was part of that crusade that was reaching those young kids. And he said, and this was funny, you'll laugh. He said, you know, he remembered one young kid in particular who came up to him. And he remember the London fog coats? Remember those? He said he just got a brand new London fog coat to go to Scotland because, you know, we have a lot of rain there. You know, we have a lot of rain in Scotland. So he said he went there, and he was standing there during the crusade, and a young kid came up to him, and on his London fog coat, lifted it up a little bit and wiped his nose all over it and blew his nose on it. And he said, I felt like slapping him. Now, I don't know for sure, but I remember when I was growing up, I used to have bad problems with allergies, and I was always sneezing, and my nose was always running all the time, and I had a terrible problem with it. And I thought, I chuckled to myself, I thought, I wonder if that was me. It was one, it could have been, or one of my relatives, you know, because back then you didn't have anything for allergies or anything. You just, if your nose was runny, you just used whatever was there. But that was the first time I ever heard the gospel. And it kept with me that time. And a few years later, I moved from that area to another area where my parents moved house. And in a little hall, there were some ladies who were doing some children's work, teaching children stories and things like that. And I remember going there and hearing the gospel again. And the interesting thing, as I said in my testimony, The guy who was the pastor who came from America worked for the same organization those ladies were working with. You see how God works all things? For good. So this young lad came with this lunch. He voluntarily offered it to the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't go running off saying, Jesus took my lunch, it's terrible. He was there as part of the people who were fed. And those 5,000 men and probably another 10,000 women and children were all fed. And the Bible says, not only were they fed, but look at verse number 12, when they were filled. Now, when we look at our meager resources, when you look at missions, for instance, you might say, well, what can I do? Not very much. But it's amazing how the Lord uses our part and multiplies it so that people are filled in the far-flung mission fields. When Jesus ministered to these people, he did not partly fill them. He didn't give them a chicken nugget and say, that's the best I can do. Sorry, here's a pea. Go home hungry. He filled them. And whenever the Lord works in your life, he's never meager. He fills. He blesses. In fact, as David said, my cup runneth over. One of the things I annoy my wife with all the time, and I'm sorry, it's one of the things I do. Whenever I get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, I fill it all the way to the top. You know, and I come through the living room, you're dripping all over the place. Well, I think of that Bible verse, my cup runneth over. So you got to fill the cup, amen? Otherwise, it's not running over. But when the Lord blesses you, he blesses. Amen? He always is better. And, you know, I've been saved now since 1979, and it's amazing how the Lord keeps getting better and better and better and better. I've never come to the place in my life, as Christians, we go through difficulties, amen? We go through trials, we go through testings, but I've never come to the place in my life where I say, Lord, you've shortchanged me. You didn't give me enough. Because the Lord always blesses. But not only did he fill those who were there, they went home completely filled, there was more. There was even more. Look what he says in verse number 12. When they were filled, he said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. You know, this is the cry for missions and missionaries today. There are still fragments out there that need to be gathered up. There's still people in Scotland who need to hear the gospel. There's still people in Michigan who need to hear the gospel. There's still a need for you and I to surrender our lives and say, Lord, whatever you want in my life. I know we live in a difficult time. I mean, this is the most difficult time. You know, if you'd seen our presentation today, one of the things is on it is we live in Blantyre, which is where David Livingstone, the missionary from Scotland, came to go to Africa. And part of that, there's a museum there in Scotland to honor David Livingstone. And as you go into the museum, there's a statue of David Livingstone with a lion mauling him. And David Livingstone was attacked by a lion twice and mauled. It affected his arm and it was all shriveled up. And he bore that. And not only did he go through that once, but it happened twice. Twice he was mauled by a lion. And, you know, if that was me, I'd say, Lord, what are you doing? I'm out here serving you. I'm out doing the best I can. And you let a lion have its lunch on me. But he went back. Why did he go back? Because there are fragments that remain. This is a difficult time. I don't know what the future holds, but I know our work isn't done. The gospel is still the same. The Great Commission is still the same. God is still able to use ordinary people like you and I to get the job done because there are still fragments out there. There's still people who need to hear. There's still people who are ready to hear the gospel and get saved. And you know, that's what motivates me and keeps me going. Amen? The fragments that remain. And there is a gathering time coming. In verse number 13 says, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. Isn't that amazing? 12 baskets. How many disciples were there? How many apostles? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So not only did the Lord take the young guy's lunch and bless and multiply it, not only did he fill everyone who was there so that they were taken care of, but he also provided for those who would be serving him. Amen. The Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire. And God takes care of those who seek to serve him. There's an old saying in the Christian service. It says, where he leads, he feeds. And we've been in the ministry now for a long time. And let me tell you, the feeding's been good. Amen. I mean, the Lord's always fed. And it's amazing how he takes care of us. But it requires a step of faith. And that's the hard part. Everything in the Christian life requires faith. Faith to get up in the morning. Faith to read your Bible. Faith to witness. Faith to serve. But for us as humans, it's the most difficult thing. I'd like to finish with talking about what Philip said. I didn't get much time to go into Philip. Philip's an amazing individual, by the way. You find out more about him in John chapter 2. Kind of amazing. But Philip says to the Lord Jesus Christ when the fish and the bread was provided, he said, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, because of his lack of faith, all he saw was that God could only do a little, not a lot. And we may think to ourselves that what I have is a little. And in your hands it probably is. But in God's hands, God is able to take what we give to him and use it. But only if it's given to him. And that's what I thought I'd like to leave you today. That if we give our lives to the Lord, he can bless it, he can use it, and he can get glory out of it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this young lad who voluntarily gave up his lunch so that you could use it to glorify yourself. Help us, Lord, to be like this young lad, to give our lives to you in whatever way you can use it, that you might be glorified in all things. Bless us now as we continue the service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.